Well, let me just do a quick review. If you remember, we started with just marriage as a whole, and we went through several lessons on that, and then we stopped and we looked at the role of the wife and the role and the responsibilities of the wife, and basically the role of the wife was respectful submission. She submits and respects, and then we said that her responsibilities was to love her husband, love her children, be a pure woman, and take care of the house. That was the things for them. Then we got to the man, to the husband, and in that passage, we basically in Ephesians saw two big things for the man's role. It is loving and leading. So he's the loving leadership. He is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and he's to lead. We actually got the first part completed. We talked about husband, love your wives, and I think we should have the slide that starts which says husbands, love your wives. There it is. And let me just, all I'm doing is just reminding you. Number one, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's the key. And so then we said there were three things about it. First of all, A, that we love with an unconditional love. Just in the same way that the wife respects her husband unconditionally, the husband loves his wife unconditionally. And that's one of the things how you break the cycle that we talked about, that cycle of love and respect and love and respect and those kind of things, that we love with an unconditional love. Second, we love with a sacrificial love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, we as husbands are to love our wives enough to die for them. Now that's the way men are. That when men fulfill their role, they realize who they are, that we've been put on this earth as the defenders, the protectors, all those kind of things. But we love our wives and our families to die for them. That's what we do. And it's a sacrificial love. Notice, I think we put, if you go to the next slide, husband loves his wife enough to die for her. I think the next slide does it have Ephesians. Yeah. The comparison is Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up. Romans 5, 8. God demonstrates his love toward us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. And so in the same way that Christ died for us, we as men, as husbands, are to die for our wives. And we talked about it, that men will die for their countries and they'll die for their families, they'll die for their children. That's what men do. That's what we do. The third thing we did, as we said, is we love with a self-love. And at first that sounds funny, but it says in verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Why is that? Because we're one flesh. Because we're one flesh. And we said, just as Jesus Christ loved us unconditionally, just as Jesus Christ loved us sacrificially and gave himself, Jesus Christ also loves us with a self-love because we are his body. We're the body of Christ. And so that all fits together. So that's what we saw as for the men, as far as loving their wives. Now, this is the one thing I just wanted to spend just a touch more time on. And that is, how can we show love? How can a man show love for his wife? And we said, number one, spend time with her. That's the affection part. And what I'm talking about is not just spend time, because we're going to find out later on that men want their wives to spend time with them. And let me just say this. That doesn't mean talk. I mean, a guy will say, come in here and watch the game with me. That doesn't mean he wants her to come in and talk with him. He just wants her with him when he watches the game. That's what men do. I mean, he might even say, come out here while I do this. He's over there doing this and she's just sort of there, but he wants her there. This, when I'm saying spend time with her, this is an idea of an affection aspect, not necessarily sexual, but affection, being close as possible. When it says talk to her, and I mentioned this last time, but that's tell her about your life. We talked about this, that men have many fewer words than women. We know that. Women are much more verbal than men. Women speak almost twice as many words a day as men do. That's just what they show. And when a guy has been at work all day, we tend to use all of our words up. And by the time we get home and our wife, who maybe hadn't used but even half of her words, is ready to talk, and we don't want to talk. How was your day? It's good. Tell me about it. Well, it's okay. See, so what we have to do is, on purpose, try to talk. Try to tell her about our lives. Because they really do care. They really do care. We think, nah, they don't care. It's just a bunch of stuff. But they do. The third one is, listen to her. And what I learned, and I think all men learn over a period of time, is that when women want you to listen to them, they're not wanting us to fix it. Because we're all fixers. And if Jean said to me, this is this and this, I said, well, here's what you do. She's not necessarily wanting me to tell her how to fix it. She's wanting me to listen. And it is true for all of us. When they want to talk, we listen, and we tend to say, well, I'll tell you what the problem is, and here's how you fix it. Well, they're not wanting it fixed, right? Am I right on that, Jean? Okay, I just wanted to be, yeah. It is true. So first of all, and they may say, what can we do about this? Then that's time to fix it. But before then, it's just to listen. The fourth is to honor her and to realize how valuable our wives are. They're the greatest thing we ever had. And we talked about this last week. Every one of us men married up. We did. That's true. We outpunted our coverage. I mean, let's face it, right? It's just our wives are just amazing compared to us. And we all know that if they'd really got to know us, they'd have never married us, right? So we're just doing the best we can, and we need to honor them as how great they really are, because they've been given to us by God. It's the grace of God. And then the fifth one was commit to her, that she needs to feel safe. We'll get to it more when we get into lesson six, when we talk about the responsibilities of the husband, and that is to provide and protect, because a woman wants to feel safe. And one of the things we have to do is commit to her, and that she knows that we are totally committed to her. I remember one time, you know, when I do a wedding, I talk about, do you live for as long as you shall live? And they go, I do. Gene was with me one time when I was doing a wedding. And I was doing a rehearsal, and we were up there, and Jean was sitting out, and she was talking to a lady, and the lady had told Jean, she said, you know, I went to a wedding last week, and the vows were, I will love you as long as I feel that love. That was their vows, and Jean had told me about it, and I thought, man, now, well, how long is that going to last? You never know how long, it may not last very long, right? And so what we have to do is say, I'm totally committed to you, for as long, oh, did she drop her little deal? Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. That you made a mistake. That was Gary's. Yeah, go ahead. Just chew on your glass there if you want to. Okay. So we commit to her. Okay. So first, husbands, love your wives unconditionally, sacrificially, with a self-love. Okay, that's the key. Now, the second part is husbands are to lead. Now, that's a big one. Lead your wives and families. And see, notice if you remember in Ephesians 6:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body, as the church is subject to Christ, so wives ought to be subject to their husbands in everything. The man is the head and the leader. Now, sometimes people get mad about this and they say, well, the man's not the boss. No, he's not the boss. Being the head, being the leader is not the boss, but he is the head and the leader. And we talked about this, that when decisions have to be made, and if the man says, I want to do this, and the woman says, I want to do this, and as they discuss it all out, finally, who's got to ultimately make the decision? He does. He may say to her, I think we ought to do this. She says, no. They talk. She says this. He says, I think you're right. We're not going to do that. He still has to make the decision. Before God, he's been placed in that position, so the man is the leader. It is the great responsibility. And a lot of times men say, oh, I'm the leader. That doesn't mean you're the boss. That doesn't mean you tell everybody what to do. It means before God, you have been put in an accountability position as the one who leads that family. The man has been placed in a leadership position and that kind of thing. Listen, the three things we mentioned just got to this last time. He is to lead spiritually, financially, and physically. He is to lead spiritually. Now, I've seen it where the children make the spiritual decisions in the family. Have y'all seen that? I've seen it where a family will say to me, well, my 7-year-old really likes this other church. And I want to go, are they the spiritual leader of your family? Well, they love to play over there. Okay. Is that how you make decisions, Mr. Leader? Think about it. The man is responsible to lead his family spiritually. And that is the idea of the spiritual direction, the spiritual growth. Where are they going to go to church? How are they going to be involved? How are they going to serve? All of those kind of things. That is the man's responsibility. Now, what's the most famous thing I could still remember? What's the guy? Who was the guy that did all the paintings? Norman Rockwell. And I can still remember one of Norman Rockwell's famous paintings. You remember it? There is the mama dressed up and three kids, and they're all about to go out the front door to church. They have Bibles. And the daddy is sitting in the easy chair, and he's all slumped down because he doesn't want them seeing him necessarily. He's got the newspaper. Actually, it's the comic strips, and he's got it in his hand. And they're all going out to church, and he's staying there. Because what he basically said is, y'all go to church, I don't want to. And so the mama takes the spiritual leadership, and she's trying to make sure that those kids get to church. That's how she thinks about it. Remember what we said, that if the man takes the spiritual leadership, 85% of the time, the children will follow. If the woman takes the spiritual leadership and the man does not, 15% of the time, the children follow. It is a huge gap. And so, men, you gotta be the spiritual leader. You gotta study the scripture. You gotta know what the scripture says so that when you make decisions as the leader in the family, that it goes back to the word of God. That's what we have to do. So not only spiritually, but financially. Now, what I'm saying by that, we're gonna get to it a little bit. He's the provider. Provider of the family. But financially means that when you talk about the money, you put this all together because it's one family, and he may or may not write the checks. You know, some people say, my wife handles all that. Well, if she's handling it, you better know what's going on because it's your responsibility to know what's going on. You may say, honey, y'all may sit down and may say this, this, and this, and she writes the checks and mails things in or does it on the internet or whatever you do nowadays. But he better know what's going on because it's his responsibility as the head to know what happens. And that's his role. And, you know, and then the third thing is physically. He leads physically. He's the man. He's the man. Garbage got to be taken out. Get the dead gum garbage out. Right? Get the stuff done you're supposed to do. You're the man. If she needs you to do something, even if you don't want to do it, do it. Because most of the time we come in and we're tired. We don't want to do anything. Right? I'm tired. Would you do that? Oh, do I have to? Yeah. Okay. Right? So we lead spiritually, financially, physically. How does he lead? He leads in love. It's loving leadership. The man is not the boss of the family, he's the head of the family. And what is the basis for the leadership? Are you ready? It's the Word of God. The Word of God. You got to know the Scripture. Let me tell you what we as men need to do. How you gonna know the Bible? Well, you're going to bring your family to church and you're going to go to a church where the Bible is taught. So as you sit there on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or whatever, you're learning the scripture. You're going to get in a small group, possibly with other men, so that you can memorize the Word of God, that you can grow and that you can understand truths. You're going to lead your family. You're going to study. You're going to memorize the Word. You're going to do all of these things so that you can be a godly leader, man of your family. And it all goes back to the Word of God, because when you're going to make a decision, whether it is spiritually, financially, or physically, it's got to be based on the Scripture. It's got to be. Got to be. Here's a question for the wives. If you knew that the decisions that your husband is making were based on the Word of God and what he considered to be the best for the family, would you have any problem submitting to that? There's no. Husband must know the Word so he can make wise decisions based on the truths and principles found in the Bible. He is to lead, but the leading must be in love. The man has the responsibility before God to lead his family in love. So what have we seen? Because we're just about through and we're going to have just a few minutes. We can get into lesson 6, which gets into the responsibilities of the man. We've seen the husband is to love and lead. He loves unconditionally, sacrificially, as he loves and as he loves himself, and he leads based on the Word of God. So let me remind you this, okay? Here we go. Application. Men, understand your role in the family. This is your role. It's twofold. First of all, what do? We love your wives. We love our wives. And how do we do that? Unconditionally, sacrificially, as our own selves, because they are. We're one flesh. So we can't ever take that for granted. And let me tell you, when you think about unconditional, that means they don't do anything for our love. Just like you don't do anything for their respect. They're both unconditional. And we love them as Christ loved the church, as sacrificially. We love them as we love our own selves because they are our own body. And as Christ loves him own self in the sense that we're the body of Christ. So, men love our wives. Second, I hope you got that down. Lead your wife and family. That's our role. And there's three parts there, as you remember. Spiritually, financially, and physically. And we talked about those. Now, that's powerful. We must understand our role. Now, we're going to get the responsibilities because that's more of the details. But think about the big role. What is the Roman's role, the big role for the woman? Submit and respect. It's respectful submission. She comes under his authority, respecting him unconditionally. and she loves her husband, she loves her children, she's a pure woman, and she takes care of the house. For the man, he loves and leads. It's loving leadership. He loves her with an unconditional, sacrificial self-love, and he leads spiritually, financially, and physically. You gotta do that. That's our role. Let me tell you, what would happen, and we hadn't got to the responsibilities yet for men, but what would happen if both wives and husbands fulfilled the biblical roles that God has for us? It'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? It would really be good. I mean, there'd be a lot of things that wouldn't be happening. We really need to do that. Okay, any questions before we go to lesson 6, which is responsibilities? Just like we had the role of the wife, submit and respect, we had her responsibilities. Now we had the role of the husband, love and lead. Now we're going to see some responsibilities. Any questions? Okay, let's pull up number 6, okay? Lesson 6, recognizing the roles, the responsibilities of the husband. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, did I skip number 2? Did I do that? Okay. Yes, there's a number 2. Yes, there is. Number 2 says, men, base your loving, it's a real good one too. I shouldn't have skipped that one. Men, base your loving leadership on the Word of God. That's the bottom line. It's on the Word of God. Whose responsibility is it to know the Scripture and base the decisions for the family off the Scripture? It's the husband. Now, that doesn't mean the wife doesn't know the Scripture, because she's studying and digging it and everything else too. And together, they know the Word of God, and they're growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But ultimately, the man is the leader. He's the head. And that's a lot of, that's a big role and a lot of responsibilities. Okay, I'm sorry. When the men don't? Well, we talked about that already. Do you remember we brought that up and said, what if you're respecting and submitting and the husband's not fulfilling his role? Do you remember what we said? What? Freddie, could you help her? Okay, what?
Are we just supposed to stay home and not go to church then?
Okay, let's get this way. You're saying, what if you had a husband that said, I do not want you to go to church? Is that what you're saying? Okay, if he's not going, you might say, is it okay with you if I go? What's he going to say? Go ahead. So you go. Okay? Now remember we talked about it. What if the husband is not fulfilling his role? We talked about that he is the loving leader. And in that lesson I think it was the responsibilities of the wife. What if the husband doesn't do what he's supposed to do? We went to the 1 Peter passage and said, do what? Yeah, you remember now, right? Now, if you can't get Freddie to go, I don't know what else to do about it, but...
Anyway.
You weren't speaking for yourself. Okay. I know it. Okay. Thank you. So the bottom line is, let's phrase this question then. Let's say you're a wife and your husband doesn't want to go and he says, I'm not going. What do you do? Do you go? If he let you, if you said to him, but is it okay with you if I go? And if he says yes, what do? You go. What do you do for him? You pray for him. You love him. You be the best wife you could possibly be. You love him and respect him and submit to him unconditionally, right? And that 1 Peter passage says, who knows that you might win him without even what? Without a word. Remember the 1 Peter passage? So now let me ask you this question. What would you do? Maybe I ought not ask this. What would you do if he said, I don't want you to go? I would probably not go. I would respect him and not go, but continue to love him and let him know that I know you don't want me to go, but sometime down the road I would really like to go whenever you change your mind. Just go. I'd probably just go and you say, I didn't know you didn't want me to go. I'm sorry.
If you don't ask, you don't know.
Well, I know. Yeah, that's the way. I knew I shouldn't have asked this question. Okay, yeah. Huh?
If he knows I want to go, and he's given me permission to go, but I don't go because he's staying, does that put responsibility on him to get up and go with me?
I don't know if you can guilt him into it or not. if he is, well, first of all, we're saying that there's a husband here who is not taking his leadership. What's going to make him take his leadership? What did 1 Peter 3 say? You continue to love him, respect him, and maybe win him without a word. Just be the greatest wife. Look, she's leaving me. You're not leaving me. Oh yeah. No. Okay. I'll be home later. Okay. That's both. It's both right there, son. It's right there. I would say that there's some real hard things. And I think the goal is that if the man is not fulfilling his role or responsibilities, which we're going to get, the woman doesn't nag him into it or talk him into it. She loves him into it. And she respects him into it. And she submits him into it. That's what that passage in 1 Peter said. And it's a hard thing. And some of you have been in situations like that. And then some of you have been in great situations. And then sometimes it's flipped the other way, where the guy is saying, I want to go, and the woman is not that interested. It seems to be less of a problem. Okay. Anything else?
Like I said to you all ago about my friend, uh-huh, who is Muslim. Uh-huh. And I know that by faith she's asked Jesus to be her Savior, but she can't even speak to her husband about it.
So she has a friend that's a Muslim who has trusted in Christ, but she hasn't told her husband. Well, let's say this. She could, but we don't know what would happen to her. I mean, she's afraid to. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that fit the passage this morning? It does it not? So, yeah, that's pretty tough.
She still has to submit to him.
She does. As her, to be her Savior.
She's literally afraid to even let him know one thing.
And we never know what's going to happen. Maybe one day she can tell him and he can believe as well.
We
never know.
We want her to come down to our senior center and mm-hmm. we exercise together.
Mm-hmm.
But
wow.
It's sad.
It is.
Because she'd like to tell him, honey, there's going to be another life after this one. But
yeah. I think he thinks there's a life after it, but he thinks there might be 72 virgins involved. I mean, that's what they believe. You know. Lesson 6, let me just throw that up, is the responsibilities of the husband. And, of course, in Ephesians 5, we've been seeing this. We're recognizing the roles. Our goal is that those who belong to Christ, that we've been raised up. In fact, I think the next slide says, we want to be husbands and wives and parents and children who represent Christ in a fallen world. That's the plan. And as we think about Lesson 6, over the weeks, we've seen all this stuff. I've already told you this about marriage and the various roles and responsibilities. But in this little study, we're going to see the responsibilities. Now, let me just tell you this. Sometimes, I'll say it this way, and this might be the last thing I can talk about this morning, but sometimes men just don't get it, right? Listen to this. Husband and wife are having dinner together. The wife sees another couple about their age sitting in a booth nearby. She sees the husband sitting close to his wife with his arm around her. He's whispering things in her ear. She's smiling. He's rubbing her shoulders. He's touching her hair. The woman turns to her husband and says, look at that couple. Look how close that man is to his wife and how he's talking to her. Look how sweet he is. Why don't you ever do that? The husband looked up from his Caesar salad, glances at the next booth and says to his wife, honey, I don't even know the woman. Sometimes men just don't get it, do they? I mean, they just don't get it. We're looking at the roles and responsibilities of the husband. What is the man to do? And let me just remind you, and we saw big, the husband is to love and to lead. I mean, that was bottom line. And this is just, and you can fill this in, but this is the review. He's the loving leader. He is to love his wife. In fact, remember how he does it? The next slide is love his wife unconditionally, sacrificially, and his own self. That's, if you fill in that in, that's just a little review as we started on a different lesson. And then he's to lead. He's to lead spiritually, financially, and physically. So that's just a review. And a lot of times, you know, we might start this study at a different time, so that's why that's in there. Now, let's think about this. The responsibilities. The husband is to lead in love, and we already know that, what is he supposed to do? Details. Just like we saw, the wife submits and respects, and she's to love her husband, love her children, be a godly woman, and to be a worker at home. We talked about that. Well, then what's the husband supposed to do? And I want you to see that there are four things that I've, as I look through the scripture, I see four things as the responsibilities of the husband. Let me just ask a question. Has any of the bells rung? The first one is, okay, we got about a minute then. Let me give you, there are four things, and I want to give you the first one. It's found in look at Ephesians 5:29, when it says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church." In the flow of this passage, he's talking about the husband is to nourish and cherish his wife, just as Christ does the church. So the very first one, and I'm going to give you just the first one today, and the bell's going to ring, I'm sure. The husband is to nourish his wife. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, the word nourish means to provide. If you said, I've got a plant out here and you want to make sure I'm nourishing that plant, that means I'm going to provide for that plant. The nourish means to take care of or to provide. In that sense, it is the man. Now, this is something that some people don't like. They don't like this. In fact, sometimes neither the husband nor the wife like this. The husband's responsibility is to provide for the needs of the family. I know that our society tells us the opposite. But it is, and our society says it's both. Husband works, wife work, they put it together, that's how they provide for the family. And so the woman's role in that scenario is she's a provider also. I want you to understand scripturally, the woman's not the provider for the family. The man is the provider for the family. Now I'm not saying anything about whether a woman works or not, but we're saying that the husband is the provider for the family. 1 Timothy 5:8 basically says if the man does not provide for the needs of his family, he is worse than a unbeliever. That's what it says. It says if the man does not provide for the needs of his family. So it's the man's responsibility to be the provider. There are exceptions. A guy may be sick, may be temporarily out of work, may be in school. What if the guy's going to school and he's got a little part-time job and maybe she's working full-time as he's going to school? That's okay. It's a temporary thing. We're not talking about, but for ongoing lifestyle, it is the role and responsibility of the man to be the provider. Now, as I've said many, many times, I'm not saying a woman can't work. In fact, when you saw that passage where it says worker at home, that means she takes care of the home. That doesn't mean that she can't work outside the home, but the man is to provide. Be careful, men, when we force our wives to work so that we can live at a higher standard of living. Or that we force our wives to work so that we can do things we think we want to do. I have to tell this, it was past time, so I know time's up, but I had a couple come in to see me. I did not do their wedding, but they were good friends of mine and they were having trouble. And they came in and they sat down and they were talking and she had a baby. It was about less than a year old. And she was wanting to stay home. He was wanting her to work because he wanted to buy a boat. And they needed both incomes to buy the boat. And as we talked, I said, "How do you see your wife?" He says, "I see her as great financial gain. We can be financially secure if she will keep working." That's how he saw her. That's what he said. I said, "I think you're seeing her wrong." Okay. But anyway, I just, you know, I want you to see that. Let me stop because the bell hasn't rung or the second one has. Oh, it has? Oh, I could have stopped before that story and saved that for next week. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, as we look at the roles of husbands and wives and parents and children, responsibilities and all those things. And Lord, especially as we think about the men and that we are to love and to lead. And that we are to love sacrificially and unconditionally and as our own selves. And we're to lead spiritually and physically and financially. And then, Lord, as we think about our responsibilities, we are to provide. We're to nourish our wives. And we're the providers of the family. That we want to step forward, Lord, and do what we can do. Lord, we know there are temporary times that things are different. But as a whole, it is our responsibility to provide for the needs of our families. May we do that. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. Help us as we continue to study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.